Okay. Everyone awake? Yeah. I talked to my mom. For those that don't know, my mom is the cook. By the way, how about the food this week, right? Good stuff. How about, there you go. What's that? I said, how about that food this week? Yeah. Humility is my mom's greatest strong point. It's where I get it, really. But I've gained 15 pounds since Monday, and no, I'm kidding, of course. But this is true. I asked my mom this. Do you realize that you guys consumed over 20 pounds of macaroni and cheese? Now, that does not include the ham and the beans and the sundaes. So I realize that there's a lot of you that are probably getting ready to fall asleep right now, all right? So I'm going to ask you, I will try to be out of here on time tonight, but you give me your attention, and you listen fast, and I'll talk fast, all right? We can do that? All right, very good. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. While you're turning there, I was just kidding with Brother Chris. I had a good time. It was fun. It was humbling. That's true, but it was good. I will tell you what embarrassing is, though. I was at a camp last year, and on the subject of thinking right, I was not. My wife and I took my daughter Molly. We inner tubed down a river, and we were coming down a river, and we saw these counselors swinging off the side of the bank into the river. And I was like, that looks like fun. And so one of the counselors very graciously was like, you don't have to do this. I was like, it's fine. You know, just because he's athletic doesn't mean that a non-athletic person can't do it. And I thought I was a little bit more athletic than I really am. I slipped the first time and embarrassed myself. You would have thought that I'd have said, well, maybe not. Year. No. Genius here said, up. That's what he said. That means you grab the rope, you hold on, and you lift your knees as high as you can, and you swing out to the middle of the river, and then you let go. All right? What made them think we should video this? I don't know, but I let go of that rock. I jumped off that log, and I yelled out, "Tuck up, buddy!" And I lifted my knees to my chest, and I swung out, and I did not even make the water. I dropped like a rock, and then I hit the rocks. I swung out what I thought has to be the middle of the river by now. And I dropped about 2 feet, and I hurt my back so bad. I had a bruise. It was really bad. I finished the week like this. It was this as wet as I got, this was much, much safer for me this year. So it was good. So by now you found Philippians chapter 4, right? All right. Now, last night we ended the message on when we should think right, and the answer to that is what? Now. And we ended by saying, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. We're to fear God. We're to what? Keep His commandments. We're going to look at a commandment tonight. It's a verb in the imperative. That means it's not a suggestion. It's a command. And it's very simple. In 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Here's what that means. You don't have to worry about everything. Don't be anxious. If it was up to you, if you're in control, then I would be concerned. But who is in control? The Lord is. And so, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Now notice there's a big difference between no thing in the first part of the verse and everything in this part. Be careful for no thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. We learned that last night. Remember Jonah? When he started being thankful, he remembered the Lord, and he was thankful in the belly of a whale, and that changed the whole scene. With everything, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds Christ Jesus. That here's what this means. That your minds right now are kept by something, either by anxiety, by worry, by temptation, by your lust, flesh, whatever it is. Or it could be kept by the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Now, how do you want your mind kept? I hope that it would be through Christ Jesus and that it would be by the peace of God. I want you to understand this, that just because you keep hearing things, and you've read this, and you've probably memorized it for Christian school, do not allow yourself to forget the importance and the seriousness of truth like this. It's real. Who authored this book? God did. Is God real? Is God living? Does God know you? Are you only allowed as young people to read about Joseph and Daniel and David when he was a youth? Is that where you're only allowed to read in your Bibles? Are there marks in your Bibles where this is only for young people? I mean, if you're a saved young person, you can't go into the deep end yet. That's not for you. Is that true? No. How much of the Bible is for you if you're a saved young person? All of the Bible. Because you have the same Holy Spirit your pastor has. Now, be thankful that you've been given a pastor, amen, who can teach and preach. And I listen to him online, so I know you're fed well. Amen? But all of the Bible is for you. So here, you don't need to be addressed young person. This is for all people that are, if you're a saved young person, then this is for you. That the peace of God can keep your heart and minds. That's how you think through Christ Jesus. And so in this context, and in this thought, he makes a statement. He says, finally. And he's going to sum up something. He's going to say, this is important. Now, here's what I'm going to drive. Brethren, whatsoever things. What does whatsoever mean? That's an easy question. It's the obvious answer. Whatsoever sounds a lot like another word we use today. Whatever. And whatever means like whatever is in this category, all of it. All right? So, whatsoever things are. What's it say? Whatsoever things are. And then next. Whatsoever things are. Next. Whatsoever things are. Whatsoever things are. And if there be any praise, think on these things. That the Bible tells us what we should be thinking about? That's helpful, isn't it? That's good. But for the rest of us, it's too. Now, our minds are funny things. Did you know that the average human being will think 10,000 thoughts in one day? That means we almost, and some of us more, some of us a little less, will not say who those are, but maybe of us who jump off banks and think we can swing out into the river. Almost a million thoughts combined between all of us. That's a lot of thoughts, isn't it? But thoughts are funny. They can be controlled funny ways. Like, for instance, if I said suddenly, purple rhinoceros, what do you have right now? You're thinking either about a purple rhinoceros or why is he talking about a purple rhinoceros? But if I said to you, okay, now stop thinking about a purple rhinoceros. Get out of your mind. Don't think about it. It's going to be hard for you to not think about the purple rhinoceros because I keep talking about it. No, don't think about it. But if I said to you something else, like a giraffe that swam across the lake today, out where I hit the water. No, it's not over there. It would be over there somewhere. You would be thinking about a giraffe swimming across the lake. Why? Because it was easy for you to think about something else than it was for you to stop thinking about something. Does that make sense? The Bible doesn't tell us, don't think about this, don't think about this, don't think about this. And that's good. Because if it did that, we'd probably think about those things a lot. But what God does for us is He doesn't just say, don't think about these things. He says, here's what you should be thinking about. And when we do think about those things, guess what? It washes our mind of those things that we shouldn't be thinking about. Amen. When I used to work in Park Farms, which is up in Canton, Ohio, my boss had a phrase, and here's what it was. Dilution is the solution to pollution. And what he was saying is we use chemicals sometimes for our job, and if there was ever a spill, there were large barrels of water, and there were large pressure hoses, and we had to get water in that area as soon as possible. Why? Because we wanted to dilute that chemical. It was powerful, it was potent, but we wanted to dilute it as much as we could. That's how you have to think about your mind. You've got to get the pure water of the Word in your mind as often as possible. Because you live in a polluted world. And the polluted world that you live in is going to affect your mind. And so you have to not focus on, I can't think about that, I can't think about that, I can't think about that, I can't think about her, I can't think about him, I can't think about that. No, that's not how you live. There are things that you should be thinking about. And so, here it is. This is deep. You ready? You want to write this down. So think on those things. Isn't that great? That's what the Holy Ghost moved the Apostle Paul to write. I'm going to give you six things, and I want you to think about them. And here's why. Because when we think about these things, we're not thinking about the things we shouldn't. There are young people in here that are young, and yet they have worries in their heart and in their minds. They allow their imagination to dictate how they think. We always joke about this, and I'm sure you have before, about the little kid who always wants their parents to check under the bed before they go to bed. There's something in the closet. There's nothing in the closet. There's just your clothes in the closet. There's nothing in the closet. There's nothing under your bed. Has anyone ever scared when they were little? You needed a nightlight? You know what, men? Good for you. That's honesty. That's really good. I appreciate that. I don't know what happened there. Who does? Okay. Well, hey. Well, we all have our battles we have to fight. And for those listening on CD, that was Hudson. No. Just kidding. Just kidding. But not really. He raised his hand. All right? What did our parents tell us? There's nothing there. You're allowing your imagination to make you scared or make you afraid, and you don't have to be like that. Paul says this, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. Quickly, John chapter 3, all right? Things are true. John chapter 3. I'm going to ask a question. I'm not asking this to be funny. I'm asking this. I'm genuine in my question. I want you to do this as a testimony of conviction. If you don't raise your hand. You're going to give an account for what you do one day, because you are going to stand before the Lord. And He's going to know if you did it because you were afraid of what someone might think, and He's going to know if you did it because you really believe it. How many of you believe the Bible is God's Word? Raise your hand. Okay, that's good. John chapter 3. Verse 32. And he hath seen and heard that he testifieth, and no man his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is what? True. God is true. And we're to think about things that are true. Turn a few pages over to the right. There's a lot of young people who think that because they're a Christian, they're better than those that are in the world. That's not true. It's not true. But I want you to look at me and I want you to get this. You're not better than anybody in the world. But if you're saved, you are better off. And that's important to remember. There is nothing to be ashamed of by admitting that you're better off than people in the world. You're not better than them, because it's only the grace of God that brought you to salvation. And the reason you're saved is because of God, not because of you anyway, right? By grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we would. So, the Lord saved us. But I want you to notice how Jesus views you if you're saved. John chapter 17, look at verse 9. This is Jesus praying to the Father. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus makes a statement. I'm not praying for the world right now. This prayer is not for everybody. This is not a universal thing. Jesus, who died for the world, who was sent here, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus dies, but yet in the garden, He's speaking about saved people, and He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. What is He going to pray about? Look at verse 17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. What is truth? Thy Word is truth. God is true, and God's Word is truth. How should you filter what you think about? The best thing you can use is your Bible. The absolute best thing you can use is your Bible. If I asked Brother Sam to come up here to the front, and then I asked Joey to come up here to the front, and I asked Antoine to come up here, and then I asked Abby to come up here, and I had all four of them up here, and I handed them a yardstick, okay? That's a bad illustration. You'll see why in a minute. I handed them all a piece of lumber, 2x4, okay? And I said, and to Antoine and to Joey and to Abby, I said, I want you to cut that to 27 inches. And all they had is a saw and a 2x4. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody here. The closest one would probably be Sam. The man's a carpenter. He works on the lumber and things like that. Abby might get close, right? I'm sure you're telling. Antoine and Joey, they understand about where a little over 2 feet would be. But do you think they would all match? No, they wouldn't. They'd all be cut different lengths. They might be close, but they wouldn't all match. But what if I did this? What if I handed them a piece of 2x4 lumber, a saw, a marker, and a tape measure? Do you think then they could all cut the same length? Yes. Because I have given them an equalizer. I've given them a standard. And it doesn't matter how skilled or unskilled, if they're holding a standard in their hand, now they all know where 27 inches is on the piece of lumber, and they can mark it, and they can cut it. May not be as straight as Brother Sam would cut it, but they're going to cut it, right? Listen, you don't have to be a preacher or a pastor or a prophet to know what right and wrong is. You have a standard in your lap. You have the ability. Listen, I realize that when we're talking about opinion, we're all in the same ballpark, but we all have, you know. But when it comes to things that matter eternally, we all have the same measuring book right here. It's truth. The best thing you could do is measure your thoughts with the Word of God. Here's what I mean by this. When we think about things that are true, a true friend, right? How many of you have ever experienced in your life someone who said they were a friend, but they weren't really a friend? Has that ever happened to any of you? Right, you realize that wasn't a true friend. It was a friend in name only. You have this, it's a true piece of wood. It's not crooked, it's true. You look at the angle of it and it's true. It means it's straight. It's true, it's not phony, it's not counterfeit. It's the real deal. It's a true thing. I want to tell you that the world is not just trying to change truth. Listen, this is important. The world is not just trying to change truth. They're trying to remove it altogether. You are living, you're growing, I'm only 38 years old. I know I look 22. And I feel, for those listening on CD, I am a svelte young man. My muscles are rippling through my shirt right now, right? But I'm 38 years old. I'm an old guy. I'm almost 40. Should I? Why not? I'm at camp. My wife's older than me. What in the world? I thought that'd be received better. She's not old, that much older than me. All right. She looks younger than me, but she's older than me. All right. And you're welcome for giving you an illustration of not thinking right. All right. You're welcome. But I'm not young anymore. I'm getting older. Okay. But I grew up in a different generation than you're growing up in. When I was growing up, even then, men were men and women were women. But you're growing up in a society where that's not necessarily the case, at least in the world's perception. You can be whatever you want to be. In New York, there is a story in a newspaper about a month ago of a woman who wanted to marry a train station. Now listen, do you know, go Google it. Because we know Google is a great authority, right? And if you read it on the internet, it must be true, all right? But that's part of our society's problem. You live in a society where a YouTube video and an internet article is more authoritative than the Bible. That's a bad thing. But that doesn't mean that you have to be that way. The world needs light. It's dark. The world needs salt. That's you. You have to know what truth is. And in a world where truth has fallen in the streets, where there are no more absolutes, at least in their minds there are not, they don't live like there are, you're going to have to really, like Daniel, purpose in your heart how you're going to live in a pagan culture. And you're going to have to think on things that are true. The world says all sorts of things, but you don't listen. You read your Bible. You find out what the Bible says, what's true. If God says that it's true, the world does not set the standard. God does. I know that sometimes in our minds, we allow ourselves to think on things. We joke around with my mom is this way, my mother-in-law is this way, it must be something with wives. You know, my dad says, okay, I'll be home about 7 o'clock. 7:05. If that car's not in the driveway, something happened. By 7:15, the funeral has already been planned. It's already been arranged. We know who's going to be coming in, right? Now, what is that called? That's called wrong thinking. Because they're allowing themselves to think about things and worry about things that aren't true. They're allowing their imagination to control their thoughts, and that's not good. Think on things that are true. Now, we know that's true morally. We have to do that with the Bible. But it's also true socially, too. And what I mean by that is we know that morality, the authoritative source is the Bible. But socially, we have to think on things that are true, too. And this is a little bit more practical. Because when that friend says to you, I don't know why she doesn't talk to me anymore. I don't think she likes me. Or, I saw him looking at you when we were at lunch. And I'm telling you, he likes you. And you say, are you serious? I didn't see him looking at me, but tell me more. And so suddenly the actions change. Suddenly the glance over there, I just want to make sure. And in reality, all the guy saw was you had extra barbecue sauce on your table. And he had more nuggets. And he was still hungry. But yet, all of a sudden, the whole girls' table is talking about something that's just not true. Now, we laugh, but we do that all the time. We allow our imaginations to affect how we act. And that's why we mistreat some girls. Or we mistreat some boys. Because if you knew what they did to me, or if you saw what they did to me, listen, if it's not true, you shouldn't be thinking about it. Not in your Bible. If you would turn to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. There's nothing new under the sun. People have been the same all the way since God created us and we fell in sin. Joshua chapter 22. This is a story of where the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half a tribe of Manasseh had made a deal with the children of Israel. They crossed the Jordan River, but they liked some property on this side of the Jordan. And so if you'll permit me to use our imaginations, you're over on the other side of Jordan, and I'm over here with Reuben, Gad, and half a tribe of Manasseh, and here's the Jordan River. And we say, listen, we're going to settle here. And you say, that's fine, but just make sure you fight with us and let's clear this land first. And after there's peace in the land, you can go back. And that's exactly what happens. And so the battle's over. We're saying our goodbyes. You guys have been so great. We're like family, literally. We're all of the same family of Jacob. We're all children of Israel. And we ship off across the Jordan, and now we're over here. And we have a conversation, and we start building a great altar. Look at verse 10. When they came under the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, Gad, half-tribe Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel, what are those two words? What do you think that means? Where do we get our word hearsay from? Did you see it? No, you just heard about it. And now you're talking about it. It's not a witness say, it's a hearsay. And so the children of Israel heard say, what did they hear? Behold, the children of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, they have built an altar over against the land of Canaan, the borders of Jordan, at the pass of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Not good. These are family. These are the children of Israel. Verse 16. They went over and they confronted them. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord? How dare you turn your back on God? How could you do this? Do you realize, have you forgotten what happened to Achan? Have you forgotten what God has done to all those that committed a trespass against the Lord? Verse 21, then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half-tribe Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, a lot of people have come over. There's an army assembled. They said, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather... That means, actually, if we did what you said, then let the Lord not save us. But if we, and now they tell them what they did, done it for fear of this thing. In time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us, you and children of Reuben, children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generation after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings. Here's what they said. Hold on, slow down. What we actually did, or we built this altar to keep us from doing what you're accusing us of. If your children came over here in generations and said, oh, God's not with you, we're on the other side of the Jordan, we're in the promised land. And because our children might believe what your children have said, we've built an altar to say that the same God over there is the same God over here. And it's a testament not to a different God, but to the same God, that we all serve the same God. And now down in verse 31, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh, this day we pray the Lord is among us. You think? Oh, suddenly now you're perceptive? You just brought an army to attack kinsmen. And here he is. They're accusing them. I can't believe you would do this. We're going to fight you. We're going to attack you. And then they're like, that's not what we did at all. This is for the Lord. And Phinehas is like, oh. And then he gets all spiritual. I perceive that the Lord is among us. Hey, listen, pal. You could have saved us a lot of trouble. Notice what happens. They go back across the Jordan. Look at verse 33. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. Wow. You talk about escalating quickly. This is what happens, though. They go back across the river, and all the family, the wives and children, are back there, and they're waiting to hear news, and they come back, and no one's even broken a sweat. There's no problem. And they come back and say, what happened? Ah, oh, turned out to be just a big misunderstanding. We're actually not going to destroy all of their land. Now, we laugh about that, but do you realize what could have saved that whole thing from happening? Was one little canoe trip across the river and going over and saying, excuse me, what are you doing? That would have been all it took. But they didn't do that. Instead of asking what they were doing, they thought they knew what they were doing. And do you know what saves a lot of problems in youth groups? Is if young people would just talk to each other. And instead of thinking about things that are not true, allowing your imagination to go, just go over to her and ask her. Or just go over to him and ask him. Did you mean, this look like you did this, and I just wanted, you know, double check this. This is what you said. Oh, that's not what I meant at all. I'm so sorry. And oh, you know what? I didn't even realize it came out. I am so sorry. And it saves a whole lot of strategizing and planning with your friends how you're going to get back at them because of what they did to you. It's just wrong, young people. Amen. You have to determine in your heart to think on things that are true, not just morally, but even socially, among yourselves. Think on things that are true. Is it real? Next thing was this. Think on things that are honest. This means think on things decent, and think on things that are honorable. Now, Saul had a problem with this, King Saul. We don't have time to turn there, but you remember what happens. David kills Goliath, and suddenly David comes back. People come back, and Saul is back in his palace. He's at his window, and he hears singing. What does he hear singing? The children, what does he hear the ladies singing? Saul has slain his thousands, and right when he's ready to repeat that line to himself because he loves the sound of it, Saul has slain his thousands. Saul has slain his thousands. Saul has slain his thousands. He hears David his 10,000s. It sounded like they said David. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And suddenly Saul allowed his mind to affect his life. And he made David out to be an enemy when David was not an enemy. David wasn't out there to try to one-up Saul. David was out there to live for the Lord. And by the way, may I just say this? If you're going to try to live your life for the Lord, there are going to be people in your life who think you're trying to one-up them. But don't let their unspirituality keep you from being spiritual. They're going to try to hold you back from being more spiritual. Don't you allow that to happen. If you've got a chapter and verse, you keep going. You stay faithful. But Saul allowed his thinking to change, and it got to this point where he was trying to kill David. Now here's what Jesus said, that you don't have to murder someone to be guilty of breaking the commandment. What do you just have to do? Hate in your heart. Do you think if you committed your life to thinking about things that were honorable and decent, that you could hate someone? No. This is what happens. We must think about things that are decent and honorable, things that would be pleasing to the Lord. And what would be good, as just like things that are true, is go and talk to the person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love rejoices not in iniquity, but in what? Truth. It doesn't like to hear about other things. Can I tell you, you want to know a way to make sure that you'll never gossip? Think on things that are decent and honorable. Think on things that are honest. If someone is coming to you with gossip, they're not an honest person. I'm going to say that again. If someone is coming to you with gossip, they're not an honest person. Because what they're telling you is, I'm not strong enough to go to the person I'm talking about, but I'm upset enough to talk about them. You don't need friends like that. Because if they will do it to you, they will do it about you. And also, let me tell you from personal experience, you reap what you sow. If you talk about other people and you like to hear other people talk about you, it's going to happen to you. God is not mocked. Just like the law of gravity, if you drop something, it's going to fall to the ground. The law of sowing and reaping is true too. You will always reap what you sow. And so don't allow yourself, make sure you think about things that are decent. Say, well, how do I do that? How do I think about things that are decent and honorable? Here's what I would do. I would make a list of things as a young lady or a young man, and I would write down, what are things that I can do that are honorable, that are decent, and that are right? Obeying my parents, being in church, studying my Bible, helping out this person, whatever it is. They'll come to mind. Then go to your Bible and study those things out. It's going to keep you busy for a while, trust me. And it's going to dilute your thinking. All that pollution from things that the gossip and all that. And here's what's going to happen. People are going to look at you and go, you know what? They don't like to hear gossip. I'm not going to talk to them about gossip. After lunch, what did you guys do with your leftover food? Where did you put it? In the what? What leftovers? My man. Ladies. After you're done eating, if you had leftovers, where did you put them? The trash can, right? No one walked over, no, at least that I know of, no one did this. No one walked out to the water fountain in the lobby and scraped all the mac and cheese. You know why? Because it doesn't go there. Listen, you got to live your way, live your life in such a way that if someone wanted to gossip, they know they can't come to you. They can't dump their garbage into your mind. You don't want it. Your purpose is to think about things that are decent and things that are honorable. Not only that, but things that are just. Whatsoever things are just. This means whatsoever things are righteous. All right? This is important, but for time's sake, I think we understand what that one is. Things that are right, okay? In other words, it things that are fair. That means that when we assess other people, that we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay? Just like you would want to be someone to be gracious to you, you need to be gracious with others. And you need to be fair with others. The Bible says this, that if we confess our sins, He, meaning God, is faithful and what? Just to forgive our sins. That means He has the right to do that. He is the righteous one. And He is able to do that. He's able to say, I forgive you. When you think about things that are just, by the way, here's something important. When you're trying to think about things that are righteous, you might want to do a study about the Lord Jesus Christ because He is righteousness personified. Every one of these things that I've given you, true, or that the Apostle Paul gave us, I should say, true, honest, just, lovely, pure, good report, Jesus fits the bill every time. And I would do, if I were you, I would go back home at the end of this week and I would study Jesus for every one of these attributes. I've done that already. It's very rewarding. Very, very rewarding. But for time's sake, I want to move on to the next one. Things that are true. This means not defiled. Now, I want to tell you, and I'm not sure you're funny, but there are things in your life that are not pure, and there are things in your life that are pure. Let me quickly tell you what's not pure. Jokes about sin are not pure. And if you are committed to living a Christ-like life, you have to be committed to thinking on things that are pure. Joking about gay guys is not pure. Joking about immorality is not pure. Joking about sin, calling someone else that, making fun of another guy, it's not pure. And it shouldn't be in your minds. It shouldn't be coming out of your mouths. It's wrong. There's nothing funny about sin. Here's how serious sin is. Hell was created for people who sin and reject Christ, and a just punishment for their sin is an eternity in hell. That's how serious God takes sin. And yet, Christian young people think that some sin is a punchline. It's not. Jesus died for those kinds of things. You have people in your church that struggled with those kind of things. Joking about drinking and smoking and drugs and immorality and lying, all that stuff. I'm just saying, you say, well, you're awful strict. I'm not strict. I'm just telling you not to think about things that are like that. And if you think about things that are pure, you're not going to think about that stuff. Because, and I'm not a theologian, but this is true, they're not pure. So if you want to think on things that are pure, you're not going to think about those things. And I feel so grieved for young people, especially young guys, because we think it's funny. There's plenty of jokes out there that are clean. You don't need to be risque or dirty to be funny. Amen. Think on things that are pure. And if you want to hear some of the clean jokes, see me after church, because I love jokes. And I have some I can give you. But a young man, lady, their mouth should be pure, and it will be if you're thinking on things that are pure. The next one I want to spend a little bit of time on because this is so important. Things that are lovely. Things that are lovely. Here's what this word means. It means pleasing. It means attractive. It means agreeable. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Are you still with me? Has the mac and cheese kicked in? All right, I see the clock, and I know what I promised you, but I want to go through here. All right, okay, Romans chapter 16, look at verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now, this is a very important principle in your Bible. Here's what Paul said. And he's not writing to toddlers, by the way. He's not writing to fourth graders. He's writing to the saints that are at Rome. He's writing to adults. So this, you're included in this. He said, I would rather you wise, that's mine by the way, that means you know about it. How do you get wise? You have to what? Where's Taylor? All right, the man's carrying a 3.4 GPA at college. Did that happen just like that, or did you have to study? He had to study. How do you get wise? You have to what? So if you are to be wise concerning that which is good, what should you be studying? Yes! You guys are halfway there. And then Paul said this, simple concerning evil. Now, have you ever heard the term, he's a simpleton? All right? This is where that word comes from. It means that learning is not really his strong point. All right? Now, I'm not sure what you mean, but that's what it is. Here's what he's saying. I want you wise for things that are good, but I want you ignorant about evil things. Basically, I don't want you knowing about that stuff. And we live in a culture that thinks that kind of stuff is good. I told this to the guys this morning. I'm going to tell this to you real quick. In 1967, the number one... Now, this is not the best TV show. It means the most viewed TV show. Okay, you with me? All right, so I'm not saying it was the best quality. I'm telling you that the most people watched this show. It was called The Andy Griffith Show. Has anyone ever seen The Andy Griffith Show? All right. Yeah, you that one. Exactly. Very good. All right. Okay. I get it. All right. The Andy Griffith Show. Okay. 50 years later, 2017. Not the best show. The most viewed show. Game of Thrones. On a worldly website, not a Christian website, a secular website. It cautions people watching it because it is filled with violence and nudity. And it's the most viewed show. Number two was a show called The Walking Dead. Now, I don't often say I'm all for individual soul liberty, and I don't think it's a pastor's place to say what you should watch and what you shouldn't watch. But I will tell you this, anything called The Walking Dead is pretty self-evident. A Christian young man or Christian young lady shouldn't be watching it. Because if you are to be mimicking the way, the truth, and the life, anything that is so dark and gruesome, and it is gruesome, it's horrible. I've just seen the advertisements and I've seen the pictures. And let me just put it to you this way. It's not lovely. It's that simple. It's not something that is attractive. It's not something that's agreeable. And it's not something good. You say, well, Pastor Fran, that's one of my favorite TV shows. It shouldn't be. I'm not trying to be mean. It should. How in the world is watching a show like that or shows like that glorifying to God? How is dismemberment and death glorifying to God? How is that helping you in your walk for Christ? It can't. You say, well, I'm just trying to get a burden for Hollywood. Listen, you can already have that. You don't have to watch that, all right? And by the way, the only reason I know that is because someone told me that. Believe that or not, all right? Now, I hope that you're not watching, but here's what I'm saying. You are living in a society that has changed drastically. Pornography is out in public now. Violence and dismemberment and death is a culture now. My daughter's birthday is in October. Do you know that I cannot take my own daughter to buy her birthday supplies for her party? You want to know why? Because the party supply store, it's October. So they have decorated for Halloween. And all I want, Antoine, is some paper plates and some paper cups. And I go in, and this past year, I don't want to say what I saw because I don't want you to think about those things. Amen? But it was, I was so grieved in my heart that young people are exposed to this kind of callousness toward, and we wonder why we live in such a violent society. When there is such a low view of human life, that's a bad thing. Man is created in God's image. Pagan or not, they're created in God's image and they need the gospel. And I want to tell you, if you're a Christian young man, you're a Christian young lady, and you want to try to live the Bible, then Philippians 4:8 is for you. And you cannot think on things that are lovely and unlovely at the same time. It can't happen. So you have to think on things that are lovely. Be simple concerning evil. How do you do that? You permeate yourself with Scripture, with the Word of God. Let me tell you how to do that real quick, because I want to be practical for you. It's easy for me to get up here and say, young people, just get in your Bibles, amen? Just read, bless the Lord, and then go out here and just live your life, amen? That's great. And you'd be like, well, how? I'm going to give you some ideas. How many of you like movies? I like movies. I enjoy good movies. How many of you like romances? Oh, hey, I don't mind Anne of Green Gables every now and then, right? Where's that one? Was it who said they never saw Anne of Green Gables? I forget. Oh, Matt. Matt never saw Anne of Green Gables. Yeah. Oh. Sorry. And I don't have a beard. Two strikes, right? Anyway. Hold on, let's get back to the message. Let's get back to the message. Did you know that there are wonderful romantic stories in the Bible? Did you know that? There are wonderful action stories in the Bible. I mean, if you've ever read the book of Esther, that is a fascinating book. I mean, that thing would just make a great, I mean, it's just a wonderful story. And creation itself, the Exodus, all these, there are wonderful stories, not just about history, but about God and His involvement with man. And then there's the Psalms. You know what you could do if you want to think on things that are lovely? Here's what you could do. How many of you enjoy music? You know what some of you should do? Oh, wow, that's great. You know what some of you should do? Find a psalm that really speaks to your heart and put music to it. We're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it would be a wonderful thing if a bunch of young people said, you know what, this psalm is really good. I'm going to put music to this so that I can sing it. It's a wonderful way to memorize Scripture, by the way. If it's a song, it puts it in your heart. And it's a great thing you can do. You could write a play. You could write a skit. You could write a story about things that are in the Bible. You could have a Bible study at your house with your friends. And instead of watching a DVD, you could talk about a Bible story. These are things you can do, like right now, as a young person. Here's something you could do. How many of you know what a fast is? What's the purpose of a fast? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm sure that you gave me a good answer. I just can't hear you. So, what was it? To deprive yourself of worldliness? Is that what you said? Okay, that's fair. Sometimes it's food, right? And food's not necessarily worldly. Oh. Right. But what it is it's I'm going to deprive myself, and instead of doing this, I'm going to take some time to spend with the Lord. There's a burden on my heart. There's something I really think is important, and I want this time to be dedicated to prayer and to time with the Lord. It doesn't have to be food. It could be something else. You know what would be good for you to do, young person? Fast from video games for a certain amount of time. Fast from TV for a certain... And I'm not talking about 2 hours. Dad, Mom, I came back from camp a spiritual man. I have decided that I will not watch TV for 2 whole hours. Please wake me up when 2 hours is over. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about going home and thinking about what you do with yourself for entertainment. Asking yourself, is it necessary? I'm not saying it's sinful. I'm just asking if it's necessary. And then say, you know what, I don't need to watch that much TV. I don't need to watch that TV show. I really do want to control my thinking more. I want to allow myself to think on things that are lovely. And you can't find anything more lovely than studying the Gospels, because it's all about the Lord. And I would encourage you to study the Gospels. Amen. Study Jesus. See how he treated people. See how he talked with people. See what was important to him. And by the way, Jesus cares a lot about how you think too. Matt, he says things like this: suppose ye, or what think ye? He asks questions to make us think. That's important. But those are just some ideas that you can have to think on things that are lovely. Maybe go out for a milkshake with your parents, or go out for a milkshake with your friends. Yeah, I don't have parents, or I don't have a dad, I don't have a mom. There are people in your life that you could have around you. Get good influences in your life. Surround yourself with good friends. Think on things that are lovely. And lastly, things that have a good report. What do you think that means? Quickly, what do you think that means? Yes. Emily? That's right. It's exactly what it says. Things that are worth talking about. That's what it says. You ever met people that they just talk about things that they're just not worth talking about? Heck, halfway through you're thinking, I'd rather stab myself in the eye than no, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Don't say that. But I have been there like you have been there. Matter of fact, I'm pretty certain that people I have talked to have felt like that. Amen? Because I like to talk myself, right? But here's what it says. Think on things that are of a good report. Think on things that are worth thinking on. Isn't that a great idea? A good reputation. And here's why it is important for you ladies and you young men to think on things that have a good report. Because if you do, please listen, this is very important. If you do, you know what's going to happen to you, and you're not even going to realize it? You're going to have a good reputation. It's going to affect your life. And so, now think about this. This is a marvelous, marvelous thing. That when it comes time for other people to try to obey Philippians 4:8, and they want to think about things that are lovely, and they want to think about things that are of a good report, that when you come to mind, you're worth thinking about. That they can say, you know what, that young man, that's like they are. I have people in my life that when I go through this list and I try to praise the Lord sometimes when I pray, there's sometimes I ask for prayer requests, and there's sometimes I just want to praise the Lord. And when I go through this list, I'm always reminded of things. But here's the blessing. When I go through here and I think about things that are true and honest and lovely and a good report and things that are pure, do you know I don't just think about things. Sometimes I think about people that have influenced my life in such a powerful way. And I just start thanking God for them. I want you young people to know something. That true friends, listen, true friends are more valuable than you can possibly imagine. Of the many good gifts God gives you, true friends are among the most precious. A friend that will be honest with you, a friend that will help you, a friend that will cry with you, a friend that will laugh with you. True friends. You need them in your life. And I would think nothing, there would be a tremendous impact that if you, this group of young people, this group of counselors, live their life in that when other Christians in your churches read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, they thought of Abby when they came across. Gabe, or they thought of Joel, Jordan, Taylor, sorry. Your dad is Joel. Your brother is Jordan. Where's Jonathan Perks? We don't want to do this again, right? Taylor, when they think about you ladies back there, what a blessing that would be. What's going to happen? It won't happen because we just want it to happen. It'll happen when we make a point in our minds to think right, and that's going to affect our life. So, last night, when should you start thinking right? Yeah. Right now. And what does the Bible say thinking right looks like? It means thinking about things that are true. Are you a gossip? Do you like talking about other people? Are you quick to believe things even though you don't know if they're true or not? You need to repent of that tonight. You need to make it right and commit. I'm only going to think about things that are true. I'm only going to think about things that are honorable. I'm only going to think about things that are pure. I'm only going to think about things that are lovely. What would be pleasing to God? What would be agreeable to God? I'm only going to think about things that are of a good report. Are you willing to make that commitment tonight? I promise you, if you are, it will be worth it. Tomorrow night, we're going to look at why it matters. And the benefit, the reward is so much greater than the work that has to go into it. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for this evening. I pray that it was a blessing to these young people. Father, I don't know all of them, but I can say with confidence, I love this group of teenagers, and I desire for them to live according to your will. I realize that there are some here tonight that it is impossible for them to think right. They have a corrupt mind. They have a wicked heart. They're lost. They need you. They need your salvation. They need your Son. They need your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would put it on their heart tonight to be saved. I pray they would turn to you this evening. I pray they put their faith in Christ. And I pray that tonight their life would be forever changed. So that when people think about these attributes, that you could name that young man or that young lady among them. Thank you for the godly influences you've given these young people, for the pastors and the youth pastors and the counselors and the parents that are represented here. But Father, I realize that all of us cannot make these young people do anything. I pray that you would give them the grace they need now to make the right decisions. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.